This is one of my favorite series of all time.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Just want to remind you, these are still bone crunchers.
I know. We'll get into it. I'll tell you why it's exciting to me.
But it's bone crunchers. These
I know.
there's really
You better
nothing.
stop shitting on these, dude. People are going to get mad at you.
Whatever. People get mad at me for the stupidest shit. Whatever.
They're going to roundhouse your ass. You better be careful.
Over bone crunchers.
Over bone crunchers, dude. People take it very seriously.
The cops are filing the police report. What did you do to him to provoke him?
How did
Talk
this fight start?
shit about Jack's bone crunchers.
I disparaged bone crunchers, sir.
The cop beats me down. He's all, "You son of a bitch."
Yeah, he Billy clubs your ass too.
He's
Let's
all.
take him down. I've turned off my camera. Yeah,
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 431 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. My name is Jeff, and sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
All right, I'll turn it over to you, Middies McGee. How's the weather out there?
Middies McGee?
Middies McGee. Isn't that what they said in Ron Burgundy? Ron Burgundy movie?
No, it was Tits McGee.
Oh, I was way off.
Yeah, I thought like, okay, you just call him my skills mid. Was that like a shot? I wasn't sure.
No,
but you were going Anchorman.
Not MID, MITTIES.
Oh, middies. Oh.
Yeah, middies are those things that we used to listen to back in the day when we had a dial-up.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Good callback.
Thank you. This is very nostalgia back to 1999.
Yeah, dude, I want to jump on LimeWire and destroy my computer. Weather's crazy out here, dude. It's hella windy.
Yeah.
Which means that allergies are going to start going crazy here pretty soon again. But hey, that's California Valley.
That was funny in Philadelphia when Hova kept making fun of us because we kept saying hella.
Hella.
Yeah. Hova's like, you know, this cheesesteak's hella good.
We're like, dude, right?
We're like, yeah,
it is hella good.
He's all, but I emphasize the hella. I think that's
like, you're fitting right in, brother.
I think that's how Hova talks.
Something like that. Yeah. It's all, just pretty good.
For the next 5 days, I'm gonna be saying hella. Oh god, I love
he's
that
listening
guy.
To this going, you son of a bitch.
I love that guy. He's awesome. How's everything else going, Scott?
Oh, dude, everything's great. I've got a bunch of shipping notifications that came in today. I've got Ultimate Edition Yoko on the way, Hogan and Albano Legends. Your birthday present finally came in. It was in my mailbox today.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I've got Gordy. I've got Luger, both coming from Entertainment Earth. So, yeah, lots of good stuff coming in the next week or so.
By the way, the Yoko Ultimate Edition has a street date, but a lot of people are getting around that by scanning the Ultimate Warrior Ultimate Edition 2 times. And then some people are purchasing the Ultimate Warrior and the Yoko and taking the Ultimate Warrior back, or they may have needed the Ultimate Warrior and they're just going to keep it.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. We do what we have to do and we really need that figure, right?
Dude, these street dates, like what the hell? Don't put the figure out if you have a street date. Like there should be something that pops up on a scanner that says, hey, this street date is April 28th. You know, if it has a street.
Yes.
By the way, I hate that name, street date. Like, why does it say street date?
Been using street date since the 90s because they used to use that in video games.
Oh.
Like when a video game would have a release date, they called it a street date.
Why do they call it a street date? It should be called shelf date or
release day.
Release date or something like, why street date? We're not putting them out on the street.
It just sounds slick, I guess.
Okay, these brick and mortar stores just want to sound slick. All right.
Yes, but Target, actually, they were notorious for this when the G.I. Joe classifieds were super hot a few years ago. Remember during like COVID time and everything?
Yeah.
Those Cobra Island exclusives that Target was getting, they had street dates on those. Sorry, I'm using that word. They had street dates on those classified figures, and some Targets would abide by it. Other ones would break it. And it was super frustrating because you didn't know which Target was going to follow it and which one was going to break it. So you're kind of at their mercy, and it's random by Target, by employee sometimes. And I mean, if you can get around it by doing the Warrior Yoko swap, hey, more power to you. Screw them. Because that's the problem. It's not uniform. If there's a release date, hold it in the back until that date, then put it on the shelf. If you put it on the shelf before the street date, that tells me you're obligated to sell it.
Right.
So if you've got to get around it by doing the Warrior Yoko swap, go for it.
And of course, we all know as Target, they have a million items in their stores. So right. I think one Yokozuna is not going to break the bank or whatnot. But I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, just keep them in back until the release date.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what's going to be funny is come inventory time, when they're way over on like, Warrior. Like, where all the Yokozunas go? Like, we have all these extra Warriors, but it's going to really screw them up.
Our Pop Finder numbers are way off.
Yeah. Oh God, Pop Finder. I forgot about that.
If you want to get any of our shirts, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. By the way, I got to talk to you. I have an idea for our next shirt.
Oh, well, it's been years, literally years since we've had a shirt. So I think we are long overdue for some new merch.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jason Wolf isn't doing designs, so we have to find a designer to bring whatchamacallit to life. But I have an idea for you, and I think you're going to love it. So anyways, awesome. I'll talk to you after the show.
Can't wait.
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable. Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. And you can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all. Send on over to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, real quick, my buddy, Jeff. He actually gave you, and I have it in the trunk of the car, a Batman figure.
That's so awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That is, and it's a gold label McFarlane too.
Yeah. He goes, hey, by the way, I got something for Scott. And I was like, well, what about me? I'm just joking. He got me a hella cool birthday gift. So he gets a pass on this one, you know,
but hella cool.
Hella cool birthday gift. So, but anyways, he goes, and by the way, I got something for Scott. And I was like, for Scott? I was like, you never met him. He goes, I think he doesn't have it, and I think he'll like it.
Awesome.
I was like, oh, okay. So this morning I saw him and he goes, here you go, man. This is for Scott. And it's a Batman figure. I sent you the picture of it.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
To be honest, I'm not sure. That was before I started really getting into the whole McFarlane Batman line.
Right.
So I missed out on a bunch of Batman figures when he first launched because it was one of those, I can't go down that road. I don't want to get involved with the Batman. But then, of course, you know me and Batman, it's... eventually I'm going to have to jump in. So it was before I started collecting. So it's like, I'm super grateful to have that one, dude. And like I said, it's a gold label. So that's incredible. So Jeff with two Fs, thank you so much, dude.
He's a hella cool dude. You'll meet him one day, but I thought you would hella like that because.
Oh, for sure.
And he actually made the comment. He goes, if I kind of gauge Scott's timeline for when he started collecting McFarlane Batman, I don't think he has this one. So I'm going to And so he gave it to me today and I was like, okay, I don't think he has this one, but you have so many different Batmans that like I lose track.
Yeah. But I literally jumped in. It was probably about a year ago I jumped in. So that one was before. And yeah, you showed me the picture. I was like, oh dude, I don't really remember that one. Cause I wasn't following too close, but yeah, no, super grateful to have it. And Jeff with two Fs. Thanks, man. That's super cool.
All right. Scott, have you picked up anything recently?
One thing.
Okay. And that is?
It was a purchase within the Fig Life. So I talked last week about the Cody, the one that I missed out on, the Mattel Creations.
Oh, what?
Steve Hoker reached out And he's like, hey, I think I've got an extra. Let me double check. Are you interested? And I'm like, man, with the UE coming out and I've got it at BBTS. It just hasn't dropped yet. I think I'm good, but just let me know. So sure enough, Steve got back to me and he's like, I've got one. Do you want it? And we worked out a price shipped. And Cody's on the way. Steve shipped it out, I want to say Tuesday. So a couple days ago. And so Cody is on the way. I've got that one piece. Well, within the last couple of years, that one piece that I missed out on and totally had the FOMO. But that figure is getting got thanks to Steve Hoker.
Oh, that is so awesome, dude.
Yeah, I'm so happy. It was one that, like, the more I've grown to love Cody as long as he's been in WWE, I kind of kicked myself for not getting it. I'm not going to buy every Cody. I haven't bought every Cody, but there are certain ones that I want in the collection. The UE, obviously, but that exclusive one, I kind of kicked myself for not picking up, but the days of kicking are over. Finally getting that figure. Thank you to Steve Hoker.
Nice, man. Steve Hoker's such a good dude.
Oh, I love him.
I picked up some things for some friends out here at WrestleMania. One of them was the Jeff with 2F guy. I got him the WrestleMania hoodie that we both love, and I'm wearing mine right now.
It's the best hoodie. And it's my favorite hoodie I own right now.
I would go the best. If they were,
well, they have a Mattel belt pocket inside the right pocket.
Okay, yes, and I've actually found a Mattel belt in that pocket, which is a funny story. But anywho,
and you carried my tag team belt in that pocket around Stockton Con.
There was that also.
Yeah,
I also got one of my other buddies. His name's John. I got John the CM Punk T-shirt.
Oh, nice!
And I asked him. I said, "Hey, dude, do you want like a WrestleMania specific one or anything?" He goes, "No, I just want one. I want a Liv Morgan shirt, a CM Punk shirt, or a KO shirt, whichever one you choose. I want that." And I was like, "You could just get those off shop." And he goes, "Oh, I know."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Okay, so you just want a regular CM Punk shirt with the blue and the, you know, everything?" He goes, "Yep, that's it." So I found it. I found it on Sunday. I picked it up for him, dude. I gave it to him, and like, literally, it was like the greatest gift he had ever received. Like, picture the reaction you give when you give a Christmas gift. Picture that reaction in your head. You're like, "Oh yeah, this person is gonna love this gift," you know? And when they get that reaction, you're like, "Yes," you know, you get it.
Nailed it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I gave John the shirt, and John's all like, he had that reaction.
Awesome.
So I was at the gym and I gave him the shirt. He ran into the gym locker room, threw the shirt on because he took off his other shirt and threw on the CM Punk shirt. I was like, "Dude, don't you even want to wash it first or something?" He goes, "No." He goes, "You have no idea how excited I am about this." I was like,
"Not everybody is a weirdo like me and you about washing t-shirts before you wear them."
Anytime I get a new shirt or new anything, it goes directly into the wash.
Into the laundry. Yeah, I'm the same way, dude. Before I wear anything, it's getting washed first. I don't care if it's socks, underwear, pants, shirts, hoodies. It's getting washed first. Yep. I am not wearing it without washing it. It's just a weirdo thing. I think we're the weird ones, not everybody else.
Oh, no, we totally are. So anyways, dude, like, he had that reaction that when you give somebody a gift, he had that reaction. Like, it was the greatest gift he's ever received. And like, he went running into the locker room to throw the shirt. I was like, "This is cool." You know, like,
that's awesome.
It wasn't even like a special event shirt.
Oh, and now, I did wear my Wyndham Rotundo shirt over the weekend.
Yes, you look studly in that shirt, dude.
Oh, dude, yeah, I was pulling all the chicks. And by that, I mean Shannon liked it.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have to do some editing or something like that. Scott, as we record today, it is the NFL draft.
Right.
So, you did not know about this, but I'm going to surprise you.
Oh, again, 2 weeks in a row. Good for me.
We have to draft five figures, any five figures.
Oh, so wait. We're working all the way from Popey back in the day to current day?
To current day.
And we get five figures.
Yeah. Now, if you want, we can just keep it strictly LJN, Hasbro, Galoob, Mattel, Jax. We could do that. Or do you want to just go across the board gambit?
Well, considering there's never been a draft before, let's just take everything.
Everything's on the board.
Everything's on the table. Everything's on the board.
All right. It sucks we didn't get an NIL deal for this, but all right.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
All right. We get five figures across the board. We need something to flip. Okay, I'm going to flip my cough drops because I'm still hacking up a storm from Philly. I got the Philly flu going on. All right, Scott. It's the Halls Breezers, and the backside is nutritional facts.
I'll take nutritional facts.
All right, hold on. Let me seal it. I don't want all the cough drops flying everywhere. Hold on.
Yeah, you end up with a room full of cough drops.
All right, I'm going to flip it under the air, and you just have to trust me. Halls Breezers, so I go first.
All right.
You have to trust me.
I don't trust you, but sure.
All right. Well, suck it. All right.
If you were Jeff with two Fs, maybe I'd trust you.
All right. My first pick, the Harley Race Elite.
Oh, the unicorn.
The unicorn. Yep.
Okay. So you're going the then now forever Harley, not the re-release.
It's the same figure, dude. I mean,
yeah, but you're an MOC guy. So the packaging matters.
Just the Harley Elite, dude. How about that?
You should think of them now forever. I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter. Come on now.
I'm going with the most iconic wrestling figure of all time, the Hulk Hogan LJN Series 1.
Okay.
That if wrestling figure collecting was a sport and we were tasked with coming up with the logo, we've already made the shirt for it. The silhouette would be that figure, Hulk Hogan LJN Series 1.
Okay. So do you want to go back-to-back picks and then I'll go back-to-back, or...
Oh, no, back and forth. Back and forth is fine. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. For my second pick, I am going to take the red card Bret Hart Hasbro figure.
Oh, good one. Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, this is tough. By the way, do I get to keep these figures and put them up on my wall?
Sure. In your imaginary room, Scott, you can put that up.
Well, I don't want to pick something I already have. You know what I mean? Like,
everything is great when you have the imagination, Scott.
I'm sitting here eating never food. Okay. So, you know me, I'm a big Road Warriors guy. So I've got to have Road Warriors on the wall or on the wall. I've already got the Classic Superstars Road Warriors that you picked up for me at that show that I've talked about many, many times on here. Animal signed for him and Hawk back in 2011. So that would be my choice. But in lieu of that, I'm going to go the Classic Superstars Tag Team Series 1 Red and Black Road Warriors or Legion of Doom.
Okay. That is technically two figures. But, I mean, I guess we can do a tag team draft next year.
Okay, so you want single figures.
It might be best. How about this? Next year during the draft,
We'll do tag teams.
We'll do tag teams. How about that?
Got it. Okay. So in that case, I'm going Stingaloob.
God damn it. That was my next pick.
Series one.
Series one. Yeah. All right. That's a good one.
Well, the only US series, I should say.
Yes.
The UK Sting is awesome. The one that OSFTM did the kind of the big blow up of.
Uh-huh.
But that first Sting, that first Galoob Sting is just so special.
All right. For my next pick. But I was hoping you get that joke, but
I don't get it. What was that?
It was from the Chappelle Show.
Oh, you're going racial draft.
Oh, dude, the racial draft was so goddamn good, dude.
Please take Tiger Woods. Please take Tiger Woods.
Oh,
goodbye, fried rice.
Oh, shit. All right. My next pick, I am going to go. I know the wrestler I'm going to go with. I just don't know which variation of his figure I'm going to go with.
Okay.
It's Macho Man.
Okay, very good. You're thinking Hasbro Series 1, aren't you?
I have it down to LJN, Hasbro, and his defining moments.
The defining moments from WrestleMania 3?
WrestleMania 7, I apologize.
Oh, WrestleMania 7 Macho.
I'm going to go the defining moments, WrestleMania 7 Macho Man.
You know, if he was still in the Mattel family, we'd get a re-release of that.
Yeah, but he is not, unfortunately.
Come on, Mattel.
Pump the brakes.
No, I know. It's not their fault.
It's not their fault.
I just need somebody to blame. I need a scapegoat, Jeff. And it's not Jungle Boy.
All right, Scott, what's your next pick?
Okay. Man, this is kind of hard.
Yeah, when you get down to the kind of the next rung outside of the main... I'd say 4 or 5. It's kind of like, okay, where do I go from here?
Yeah. Kind of shifting gears a little bit, or grinding gears. Man, who do I want up on my wall? I was going to say LJ and Snuka, but I've got that repainted one that Brian from the Legendary podcast gave me with kind of the toes chewed off. So it literally just like it looks looks like it came out of my wrestling ring back in the day because you got a hold of it.
And it's right in front of you, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got the Ricky and the Snuka on my desk here. So I guess I don't need Snuka. So you just took Macho Man. When you pull a name, that name's off the board, right?
No, you can take Macho Man Series 1 Hasbro if you want.
Okay, okay. I wasn't sure. Okay.
Every wrestling figure is in the pool.
Okay, got it. So let me follow suit by going Defining Moments Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 7.
Really?
That figure's so good, dude.
There's something with the hair, the face. I don't know. There's something about that one that just, I don't know. I mean, it's your draft. It's your draft. I sound like dad. It's your, you do what you want.
You do what you want. But.
Okay. Man. Okay. Do I go Galoob? No, because you took the best Galoob. That's off the board. There's so many good Hasbros that I could choose from. Have you got your next pick already?
I think so.
Okay. I want to go one that, even though it isn't accurate, it's still a great figure in the LJN line.
Okay.
And it's because of the pose, and I'll give us a hint away, the face paint.
Okay.
There are some things that are off with it, but at the same time, it's an excellent figure and still one of my favorite LJNs. I'm going Warlord LJN.
Wow. That was such a weird figure because they combined his two gimmicks in one figure because they gave him trunks, which he had with the singles run.
Right.
But he had his face paint, which was his Powers of Pain look.
Yep, exactly.
Interesting. Okay.
However, because of the pose, because of the playability, it's an excellent, excellent figure.
Okay.
It's one of my favorites in the LJN line.
Okay. Got it.
So I'm going to go Warlord LJN.
Okay. So my next name is going to be HBK.
Okay.
It's just, man, when you count up the number of Shawn Michaels figures that we've had, it's insane.
Yep.
I'm going to go the white and red ringside exclusive tights, Shawn Michaels.
All right. And for my last pick, I'm going to pull something from our Hall of Fame.
Oh, very good.
It is actually an underrated figure. However, in our opinion, is one of the greatest figures ever. And that is the Christian TNA figure.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Now, I know that figure gets looked over quite a bit.
Christian, it does. It does. It's rarely mentioned.
Scott and I have talked about this numerous times on the show regarding how good that figure is, the way he's packaged with the hand above his face. It comes with the NWA title, the gold jumpsuit. Excellent figure. I'm going Christian. I have no qualms with my draft. I love it.
Okay. Very good. You really mixed it up too.
Mattel, Hasbro, Mattel, LJN, and TNA. No Jax.
How am I looking so far? I've got LJN, Galoob. I've got
Mattel. Mattel. You went back to back on Mattels.
I did. So part of me wants to take Jax just because. You know, give it a good mix.
Okay.
But I think by the end of Mattel's run, they're going to be the best that WWE or WWF has ever had for figures.
Correct.
So because of that, I'm going to go Mattel again.
Okay.
And I am going Defining Moments Razor Ramon.
Oh, good figure.
Even though I've already got it in the collection, the one I have is signed. I'll take that one unsigned.
Good figure. Good figure. Good choice. All right. Scott's draft went Hulk Hogan LJN, Sting Galoob, Defining Moment WrestleMania 7 Ultimate Warrior, Shawn Michaels Ringside Exclusive, and Defining Moment Razor. I went Harley Elite with my first pick, Bret Hart Hasbro, Defining Moment WrestleMania 7 Macho Man, Warlord LJN, shocker there for a lot of people, and also another shocker, but an excellent figure. Please go back and look at this one, the Christian TNA figure.
You know what? There's going to be a trade.
Okay.
There's going to be a trade. I'm trading with I don't know who, But I am swapping them my Ultimate Warrior Defining Moments WrestleMania 7.
Okay.
For their Jax Classic Superstars Series 1 Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
I feel I have to have Jax in there. Just because of the long run that they had with WWF.
Go with their deluxe. Go with something deluxe. Don't go with any of their Ruthless Aggression.
No. Classic Superstars, dude. Don't disparage the name. Shame on you.
Shame.
Shame.
All right. That is our draft for this week. And good job for doing that on the fly, Scott. I had a little bit of time. I just thought of this maybe about 30 minutes ago. So I kind of came up with my first three names and then started watching the NFL draft and started kind of losing thought process. So, you know.
How'd your Bills do?
They haven't drafted yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's only been one shocker so far, and that was a quarterback from Washington. His name's Penix. He went to Atlanta, and that kind of shocked everybody.
Oh, okay.
All right, that is the draft. Next year, we'll do tag teams.
Perfect. I'm going to hold you to it.
So you have a year to think about it.
Perfect. I'll forget all about it as soon as we're done with the segment.
Oh, no, you will. I should have gone Finn Balor Elite 41.
Well, if we do a top 10.
No, we're not doing top 10.
Yeah, it'll take too long.
It'll take way too long. Come on now. Come on now.
You have to edit that down a lot.
All right, Scott, we got a little bit of news. What do you say we jump into it?
Yeah, let's just talk about it.
Jazzwares, they're going to be releasing a Jeff Jarrett ringside exclusive. It'll have an extra head. It will have the red robe and a guitar. This is a Jazzwares ringside exclusive.
Current look, Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, current look. Yeah. Yeah, not TNA. Not
WWE.
Not WWE. Not, was he part of, was it USWA?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Not that look. It's current day.
Okay.
Yep. By the way, I'm going to just do a call out to the listeners. We want to thank Ringside for donating to the Fig Life meetup.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So what I would like to do is I would like to do a call out to the listeners and I would like to have them just go into Ringside and purchase something.
Just something.
Yeah. If there was a figure you guys have been kind of sitting or hoeing and humming over, pick it up. This is a thank you to Ringside for their generosity in donating to the Fig Life meetup. Steve Hoker won something. Steve Fontas won something that they sent over. And, you know, as a thank you, I want the list, and I will do it too. I will do it too this week. In fact, there's some things I've been sitting on over at Ringside that I need to pick up.
Dude, I've made like, I think three purchases there within the last month or two. I picked up the Outsiders exclusive, which is amazing.
I did too.
I got some Vault figures from Series 1 and Series 2. So yeah, definitely go check out those vaulted figures if you're missing some from your Elite collection. They've opened up the vault. They're re-releasing them. They're incredible. I had to get my hands on those Dudleys. But the Outsiders exclusive, if you're going to get anything, man, like that would be my pick.
Yeah.
If you're going to go pick something up, take a look at those Outsiders Ultimate Editions.
And there's plenty of promo codes out there. There's free shipping. There's people that have 10% off. Just look for those codes and just go over there and purchase something from Ringside.
Or if you've got to wait for the Memorial Day sale, hey, do that too. That's coming up pretty quick.
But yeah,
definitely go support Ringside. And while you're at it, I mean, let's thank Mike Canick, too, for the Major Pod.
Oh, they're doing merch. Yeah, they're doing quite well. They're crushing everybody with those rubber guys. No pun intended.
Absolutely.
No pun intended. But at the same time, like, dude, they're just killing it over there with the Dusty and the Powers of Pain. Their figures are selling out. The WrestleCon exclusives sold out so fast.
Yep. But we were lucky enough to get one for our giveaway at the Fig Life meetup. So huge thanks to Michael Canick. Definitely go support that Major Pod merch with those big rubber guys. They're absolutely incredible. I wish they were in my budget. It's definitely one of the harder ones to say no to, you know, need to, but I don't want to. It's that internal struggle. Like, damn it, I wish I could. But yeah, absolutely incredible product.
Also, Sean Ng's product of Mantar is going to be shipping here shortly. So be on the lookout for your shipping notifications.
Yeah, they're getting out there. You're seeing people getting them. Sean's been posting pictures. So watch for those notifications. If you haven't gotten it yet, it's definitely coming.
And check and see what you got. Did you get a test shot? Did you get... he's got so many different variations, but some of them are extremely rare. So be on the lookout.
Yep. Somebody actually told him he should be signing the ones that are super rare. They said, sign the back of the box.
No, you don't sign the back. You got to sign the front.
Well, that's reserved for the wrestler in a lot of cases. So I actually like that. It's kind of like an artist hidden signature.
Oh, that's a good call. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. All right, Scott, we've got Mattel WWE, and in some big news that just dropped, Jesse Ventura is in talks with WWE to get his license back.
Yes. Well, we'll see what happens. Apparently he didn't like the old regime, or he was very clear when he said their new direction. He's very on board with their new direction. So read into that what you will.
I think he said it, and in their new direction.
Yeah, well, very good, dude. Dude, you've been practicing.
Dude, I pulled that out from the nutsack, dude. I was like, holy crap, dude. I can't believe I just did that. That was on the fly. Oh, dude, I can never do that again.
Yeah, not even if you tried. It was like I was recording with Will Sasso. That was such a good impersonation. Or Karrion Kross.
Let me tell you about my that's more Macho Man. All right, yeah, move see? On. I can't do it again.
You can't recreate it, dude. It was a one-time event.
Oh, I'm glad I caught it on a recording.
But I mean, there's no guarantees that anything's happening yet. He just said, you know, bridges are being rebuilt with the WWE. And if that means he's coming back into the family and he's going to sign a Legends deal. Dude, I think it was Chris Salima on Facebook threw out the idea to have Jesse in his wrestling gear and in his announcer gear as like a two pack. I absolutely love that idea. That opens them up for the Coliseum collection.
I was just about to say that.
Yep. And I mean, you start to think who you pair him up with. Obviously, Macho Man comes into play because he was such a Macho Man fan.
They don't have Macho Man.
I understand. But by the time they get around to making a Jesse figure, he might be back in.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But the perfect pairing, and it will never happen, would be with Vince. And unfortunately, the way everything has worked out, unfortunately, we're not going to get a Vince-inspired Mattel based on his LJN, because that would be the perfect pairing with Jesse. But I think Macho Man would make a lot of sense, too, if he's back in the family.
What about Gene Okerlund?
Yes, you could do Gene. You definitely could do Gene, and I think the way Steve explained it last week is you don't want to do two managers.
Right.
But I think with Jesse, if that's one of his first figures that gets dropped, I think that would be a strong enough offering to where you could do Jesse. Technically, it's in his wrestler pose. You could package him with Mean Gene, and that would make a lot of sense.
Okay. The other thing is would they go with what they went with in LJN? Because he had the pink tights, he had the bandana, the glasses. They went wrestler Jesse. They didn't go announcer Jesse. So,
right.
Would a lot of people remember him as a wrestler, or would that be just, we don't care, just get us a Jesse Coliseum?
Don't care. You've got to go LJN inspired. It's got to be Jesse in his wrestling gear. And then you could do Jesse in a number of looks, right? Like his WrestleMania 4 look. That would be awesome. His WrestleMania 5 look. You could do, there's so many different looks of Jesse you could do, but wrestler has to definitely be one. And I think that would fit best into the Coliseum collection.
Okay.
And I think if that's going to be his only wrestling figure in his wrestling gear for a while, that would make sense to package him with Mean Gene. That's a great call, dude.
All right. We need to move over to the message boards, and this question's long, so I apologize. First question comes in from Nomo Reclusives.
Or no more exclusives.
Tomato, tomato. Come on now.
Okay. Let's go with no more reclusives.
I mean, it's all one word. I mean, you just can't, you really can't decipher. I mean, it could be no more exclusive. Anyways. Hi, Steve. What?
Nothing. Continue.
Okay. All right. Hi, Steve. In regards to figure lines released at Walmart. Oh, dude. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we had a question from no more exclusives. And we said all of his questions should be about exclusives.
He's hitting it out of the park.
Oh, dude, he's sticking to his gimmick. So I like
it. He really is. Yeah, he really is.
I love this. All right. Hi, Steve. In regards to figure lines released at Walmart, Is there a reason why they are not labeled as a limited edition series, and why are individual Chase figures not labeled with a limited number sticker on the package the way Jax used to do on their Kmart exclusives? The Monday Night Wars line, for example, has not even been given any shelf space and is only being delivered on shippers as of now. The Superstars line space has been reduced to one peg at many Walmart stores for this new reset and should be labeled as a limited series. Is this something that could change for a coming series to more accurately reflect both figure lines and to at least give them more permanent space with side shippers located on corner front shelving panels, the way both Target and Walmart does for your Mattel Hot Wheels limited edition branded series? I believe this will help collectors find the figures they want by protecting these shippers from being tampered with and keep them sealed until their street dates. Don't say street dates. Come on now.
Here we go again.
Street dates given to limited edition exclusives on sealed shippers, like done for Black Friday, he put in quotations. Having been in retail space and in charge of inventory of special items, I foresee this will greatly increase the odds collectors have to find these hard to find items, which are oftentimes picked through before they hit the sales floor. This will conversely even the odds for collectors with scalpers and resellers who currently have a leg up with employees. This way, everyone has the chances to get them, so long as Walmart stores adhere to their street dates.
Which, as we've discussed, is a big problem.
Yes. Conclusion. This is like, in conclusion.
Yeah. This is like a well-written high school essay.
Yeah.
In closing.
It's not even well-written because he doesn't put punctuation and it's driving me crazy. But I actually like this guy, so I'm letting him slide on this, but it's driving me crazy right now.
He's bringing the heat.
I don't mean to sound like your drunk wrestling co-host, Ed. I know he is a grammar person.
Yeah, he's a douche. Please don't sound like him.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, this one's killing me. So anyways, No More Reclusive says, in conclusion, permanent areas given space for these limited edition items will ensure they are ordered more often when they sell out, and the limited edition notation on the packaging and shippers themselves, along with the limited edition stickers on the packaging, will allow the constant sell through. Some food for thought. Thanks for your time and all you do for us. Sincerely, your buying customers, No More Reclusives. Steve said, Walmart planogram hasn't reset yet. They'll have a home on pegs in a few weeks. Sorry, outside of punctuations, I'm probably sure Steve was like losing his mind as well, but like he had this like really thought out thing that he sticks to regarding exclusives, and Steve's all, hey, just be patient. Walmart planograms hasn't reset yet. They'll have a home pegs in a few weeks. So
yeah, no answer for the stickers or anything like that. Like,
just chill out, dude. You're good. You'll be happy in a few weeks. Just be patient. That's kind of what I took from it.
But I don't know how much say Mattel has with how Walmart handles their business like that.
They don't.
Like, he almost thinks that like Mattel can go marching in and just tell them exactly how they want it done. And Walmart's going to be like, cool, we'll make all of our stores adhere to that. Well, I don't think that's the case at all. I think Walmart's the one calling the shots, not Mattel.
So I don't know what he's thinking. No More Exclusives when I say he. I don't know what he's thinking, but I think he's reading over the message boards. And Steve has answered numerous questions regarding Walmart recently and has basically said, hey, look, things are going to get better. We're hoping. We had to sit down with Walmart. So I'm thinking he read, when I say him, No More Exclusives, read all these answers that Steve has been answering to and then came up with this well thought out essay, I guess you could say.
Right.
Essay slash question. So I think he was like, okay, I have this idea. Here you go. Because of everything I've been reading recently that you have been answering on the message boards. So here you go. Here's my thought out stuff, you know? And I think that's why he kind of verbal vomited on him.
Yeah, it is really well thought out. But at the same time, Mattel can't make these demands or call these shots with Walmart. You hand Walmart the product, they're going to do with it what they're going to do with it. They're going to do one peg of Superstars. Maybe they'll put an end cap up. But dude, you're not going to tell Walmart what they can do and where they can put it.
Exactly. Like, you don't really want to mess with Walmart, but I think
absolutely. Yeah. Biggest retailer in the world.
But I think he's been reading Steve's answers recently and kind of thinking, you know what? You guys might have more pull. So how about this?
Well, what I hope is that a lot of these complaints move Walmart exclusives to being Amazon exclusives. So let's take them from the largest brick and mortar in the United States and move it over to the biggest online retailer in the United States. And let's see what happens. You know, it doesn't seem like Amazon outside of, they have those weird cancellation notices that were going out with some of their exclusives. And then you just be able to go order it after your order canceled, which made no sense. Mm-hmm. Seems like they've got that worked out and figured out. So let's give Amazon a chance with some of these. You know, they haven't had a ton of exclusives the last few years compared to Walmart anyway.
Well, they do have the Fan Takeover series.
Yeah. And then they get the occasional exclusive like the Gobbledygooker and Undertaker, like that Shawn Michaels Ultimate Edition. You know, they get the occasional, but maybe start throwing more their way or start throwing more to the retailers that seem like they can handle it. Or let's all just band together and bring Toys R Us back and they can take all of it.
Okay, the last one is not happening, I'll tell you.
I know, fine. Give me KB Toys then.
All right, that one could happen.
KB Toys never had an exclusive from Mattel.
Hey, KB Toys was the first person to walk out of malls. Malls are a dying breed, so KB was the first one to walk out. They're like,
yeah.
Hey, we see where malls are headed. We're heading out of his place. And
we're good.
See you guys. And we're never coming back.
Yeah, KB Toys changed their name to Nostradamus and bounced. Like, we see what's coming. We're smart.
All right, next question came in from Action Figure Dude. So we have Action Figure Attack and Action Figure Dude.
Dude.
I wonder if it's like the Spider-Man meme and they're both pointing at each other.
Yeah, like Steve writing questions to himself.
Oh, by the way, I was showing 2F Jeff. I was showing him the pictures from WrestleMania. And I showed him a picture of us, you, me, Steve Fontas, and Hova in front of the ECW backdrop that they had at the World. And 2F Jeff goes, holy crap, is that Carl Anderson?
Oh, that's hella funny.
He thought Hova was Carl Anderson.
That's hella funny. Like, now that he says it, you can kind of see it.
Dude, I cannot now unsee it, dude.
Yeah.
Hova is now Carl Anderson, dude. Talk about a Spider-Man meme, you know?
Right. Carl Hove Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I thought that was kind of funny. All right. Action Figure Dude said, hi, Steve. I know a lot of collectors didn't like collector's editions in the Elite Wave. I liked it since we got first time two line characters we wouldn't get in the main Elite line. Could we see it come back? Maybe include some NXT talent like Tyreek. I don't even know who that is. Tyreek. I watch NXT and I'm drawing a blank.
Got me.
And Tyson DuPont, or deep cuts like the Brooklyn Brawler and Roadblock. All right.
Roadblock. Wow.
What?
Wow.
If you want Roadblock, he is under Rush Collectibles. He's got to deal with them. Hey, you know what, Action Figure Dude? That is a deep cut, I'll tell you, man. Holy
crap. I'd rather have Iron Mike Sharp. If we're going to do jobbers, Iron Mike Sharp.
Steve said, we are still including the type of talent that would have been CE just without the exclusivity collector's edition. That is.
Okay.
All right. Next question came in from Next Man's Knowing Rock. What is that?
That's got to be an inside joke or something. I have no idea.
I'm going to Google this real quick.
Is it an Urban Dictionary thing?
It can't be. I'm going to Google this real quick. Next Man's Knowing Rock. I think even Google's confused.
It's like, did you mean?
Yeah, Google doesn't even know. All right, it's got to be an inside joke.
Right. Yeah, it's got to be an inside thing.
All right, well, hey, Steve, has there ever been a serious consideration to doing a fully articulated 3¾ or thereabout line, a la G.I. Joe, WWE Build and Brawl? Ooh, I wouldn't mind those. And Mattel's DC Multiverse. Steve said, have explored and attempted multiple times. Hasn't come to fruition yet.
That would be something. We know LJN looked at it back in the day. Jax did it with the Build and Brawls, as he pointed out. Does it play today, though?
Well,
there's not a lot of that style of figure out there.
No, you're right.
Even the G.I. Joe line tried to bring that back as a Walmart exclusive a couple years ago, and it failed.
Yeah.
And they basically turned it into, okay, we're just going to do these special exclusive figures through Pulse as you've purchased a couple.
Mm-hmm.
They even did the Kickstarter and it funded, but there hasn't been one since. And I think they've pretty much cut bait on the 3¾-inch line. And that was in G.I. Joe, which is the biggest of all time.
Right.
So this would have to, if they were going to do it, I think would have to have some sort of spin to it. Maybe something like the Build 'Em Brawls, where it comes like a section of the ring with a figure or something, some sort of gimmick with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be cool because it would definitely save a lot of space on collector shelves going smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. In 2024, that just sounds like a gamble to me. If you would ask me 4 or 5 years ago, I'd have been like, hell yes. But now in this collector climate, I don't know. With budgets tightening and so many players out there, that's risky.
Yeah, because let's kind of think about it. The price point would probably be...
probably talking like $12.
$12?
Yeah, I'm thinking $12. Because that's how much the G.I. Joe ones were. Is they were anywhere from like $9 to $12.
And Super 7 Reactions are $20.
Yes, correct. And that's not O-ring figure. That's just a straight like 5 points of articulation.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I don't think that it would work in today's... it wouldn't work. Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think like perceived value if you're a parent buying a figure for a kid. Like, I can buy this Elite for $22, or I can buy this figure that's like half the size for like $13. And I think I'll spend a little bit extra money and give them like a full size figure.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like this new scale that we've gotten. I know you hate it, Jeff. It just seems to be that's what everything is now.
Well, it's
back in the day, it was 3¾. And now it's 6 to 7 inch.
Well, I wouldn't say I hate it. I mean, I understand why the makers do it because it's what we've kind of pigeonholed ourselves into.
Well, you don't necessarily hate the scale. You hate the uniformity.
Yeah, because I was just talking about this on TB Toycast with Breaker. The other night, I went to Walmart and I see WWE Mattel Elites. I see, which is like 6 and 8. CEO of Ring Skirts will correct me, but it's like what, 6¾-inch or whatever, but it's a 6-inch figure.
Just a 6-inch scale.
Then you look at Star Wars Black Series, 6-inch scale.
Yep. AEW.
AEW, 6-inch scale, which I think those are just a little bit bigger, but anyways, the people kind of know where I'm going with this.
Even Boss Fight, 6-inch scale.
Yeah. And Marvel Legends.
Yes.
And it's kind of one of those, it's like, and again, I talked about this on TB Toycast. When we grew up, we had He-Man style. You talked about 3¾. Yes, we had those. And there were quite a few properties that had that, that adopted that 3¾ style. But think about it. We had He-Man. We had LJNs. We had G.I. Joe's 3¾. We had a bunch of different fluctuating sizes. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from Playmates. We had a bunch of different fluctuating styles.
And masks were like 2.5 to 3-inch figures.
Exactly. So we came from an era where everything kind of fluctuated and we got different styles on the shelves. And that's kind of what I go back to. And I love.
Because they needed to stand out. That was a very competitive time in toys and you had to stand out.
Exactly.
So you didn't want to release the same, like Star Wars and G.I. Joe were the same scale, but everything else almost across the board was something different. You know, Silverhawks, Centurions, like name it. They were all different sizes, superpowers.
And then you go to Hasbro's and then you have something completely different from the LJNs. So
right.
It's the uniformity that is kind of annoying. That's why and that's why I think a lot of us kind of gravitated towards the Superstars figures. We're seeing something new, something fresh.
Right.
And I shouldn't say new because that style of body has been around, but we're seeing it now in a newer form in wrestling figures.
So using that logic, and you think that the Superstars figures, like people are gravitating towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Given that logic, then do you think that a 3¾-inch scale would be different enough to draw the collectors in?
Not today's day and age, not with inflation. And
I think if Remco wasn't a thing, if Remco had never happened, Superstars line doesn't have the love that it has. It's great. But I think without that Remco love letter behind it, I don't think Superstars is as successful as it is.
I actually disagree with you.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people have that nostalgia for He-Man style bodies.
Okay.
So I could see a lot of us collectors being like, whoa, what are these? These are basically He-Man style figures, but as Superstars. So like, I think a lot of us collectors would have still jumped into the pool on these Superstar figures.
Okay, you might be onto something, because that He-Man WWE crossover line got a lot of love and went way longer than I thought it was going to. So but, yeah, maybe you're onto something there.
It's just something I would say, yes, we would love the Superstar figures, even if Remco never walked.
Okay, so Remco didn't have to walk so that the Superstars could run.
Exactly.
Superstars could have walked on their own.
I agree with that, yes. However, would Power Town be able to run if Remco never walked?
Well, I don't see why they wouldn't do well if Superstars does well.
Listen to us, dude. We're hella old and we're talking like young kids.
Oh, I know, right?
That's ridiculous.
We're talking street dates and walking before running, and look at us hipsters being young. I don't know, but then you say all of that, and then that makes me think that you would say that this line would do well because of the G.I. Joe love. Building Brawls did pretty well. That went, like, what, 10 series or something crazy?
Oh, they went long. Yeah, about that, actually. I think you're right.
Yeah, that went for quite a while. To me, it's risky. And again, if you would ask me 5 years ago, I would say absolutely go for it. That 3 3/4 inch scale, 100%, yes, go. But now in 2024, I don't know. It just seems risky to me. I'm glad I don't make these decisions for Mattel. That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
All right, next man's Knowing Rock. You got us talking on this one, I'll tell you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we can't figure out what your handle means, but the question is definitely solid, for sure. And it makes you wonder, like, would they just want to put out, like, two series and see how it goes? Like, let's put out one series for sure, plan the second one, go ahead and release it no matter what, and move forward if it does well. I mean, hey, throw it against the wall and see if it sticks, right? I'm sure that's what the He-Man crossover was. And that went on for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what do you got to lose?
All right. Next question comes in from CTM814. Oh, the last question of the week, too. Steve, Colosseum Collection, how's it going? Are you guys going to bump up the amount of sets per year, CTM? All right.
Well, like he's tight with Steve.
I know.
What's like up, Steve? Bud? CTM here. What's up, dude?
CTM here. Steve, CTM here.
Yeah. His was so short, it didn't need a conclusion.
I know.
There was no need for an end conclusion at the end.
We had the longest question and the shortest question.
Exactly. Yeah.
No more. Yeah. No more reclusives. Had the longest question ever without punctuations, and CTM had the shortest question ever with proper punctuations. Anyways.
Right. And Steve's about to answer them in a longer form than he answered no more reclusives.
That is true, actually. Steve said, it's doing fine. Amount of releases per year will remain the same.
That's good to hear. And we enjoy doing fantasy booking.
Exactly. So missed the cough button on that one. Damn it.
I hate when that happens.
I know. I couldn't get my finger over to it fast enough to press the button. Anyways. I don't know what that means, but.
That sounded dirty.
It sounded dirty. All right, Scott, that rounds out the news. We are going to do Jack's Bone Crunchers series, tag team series one, because I think they ran out of the Jack's regular series because they had so many other series going on that they just stopped doing the initial series. And there are people that probably know way better than I do, but I just gave up. So I just went over to the tag team series.
This is one of my favorite series of all time.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Just want to remind you, these are still Bone Crunchers.
I know. We'll get into it. I'll tell you why it's exciting to me.
But it's Bone Crunchers.
I know.
There's really.
You better stop shitting on these, dude. People are going to get mad at you.
Whatever. People get mad at me for the stupidest shit. Whatever.
They're going to roundhouse your ass. You better be careful.
Over Bone Crunchers.
Over Bone Crunchers, dude. People take it very seriously.
The cops are filing the police report. What did you do to them to provoke them?
How did this fight start?
Talk shit about Jack's Bone Crunchers.
I disparaged Bone Crunchers, sir.
The cop beats me down. He's all, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, he Billy clubs your ass too. Let's take him down. I've turned off my camera.
Oh, shit. All right, let's get into this tag team series one. Before we get into Jack's Bone Crunchers Tag Team Series 1, we want everybody to head over to WrestlingFigureDatabase.com. Over there, they have almost every wrestling figure ever made over at WrestlingFigureDatabase.com. But what we want you to do this week, up in the upper right-hand corner, just search Jack's Tag Team Series 1 so you can get a visual of what they look like. And again, that's Jack's Bone Crunchers Tag Team Series 1 over on WrestlingFigureDatabase.com. All right, Scott, I'm really curious why this is one of your favorite series of all time.
Well, first and foremost, it had Legion of Doom in it.
Okay.
And I hadn't been able to hunt Legion of Doom figures. I didn't really look too hard for the Bendems, but I had such a hard time finding the Hasbros that when they announced Legion of Doom was coming out in the tag teams of Jax, I knew that I had to be on the hunt big time for these because you know how it is with Legion of Doom figures, dude. You put them out, especially at retail, they're scooped up as soon as they hit the pegs. Mm-hmm. They're gone immediately, and that's not an exaggeration. LOD figures don't sit around. They really don't. They could be re-release upon re-release. They don't really sit around. They did in later Jax because there were so many, but with Mattel, because there weren't a ton, they don't sit around on pegs. So I knew when these came out, I had to be on it. I had to be calling Toys R Us. I had to be at Toys R Us. These came out in 97. I want to say around summer 97. And I was at Toys R Us probably four times a week looking for these.
Which Toys R Us were you hitting up?
Hayward.
Hayward only?
Hayward. And then the times I was out in the Dublin area, I was hitting the Dublin Toys R Us as well.
Got it. Okay.
But yeah, I was hot and heavy at Toys R Us hunting these down. And I'll never forget when I did finally find them. It was like, it was that elation. Like, okay, good. I can stop now. Like, I don't need to be like as anxiety ridden as I have been trying to find these things. Cause it really was stressful. Like you're worried you're going to miss them, you know? And we saw that in later years when those first Hardy's figures came out in the double slams, there was a set of three and you always found the other two, but you could never find the Hardy's. That was my fear with the Legion of Doom and this. I'm like, there's going to be a ton of Godwins and Blackjacks and no LOD, you know? So was super happy when I found them. It was really that thrill of the hunt as to why I look back on the Bone Crunchers Tag Team Series 1 with such love.
Okay. Well, why don't you get into the four tag teams that are in this series?
Yes, sir. Jack's Bone Crunchers Tag Team Series 1 consisted of the Godwins. They came with a chain and bucket accessory. Phineas was in a white shirt. Henry was in a yellow shirt. Both have overalls. The Headbangers, Thrasher, black kilt, Mosh, red kilt, both have black cutoff shirts. The previously mentioned Legion of Doom, this was their red and black gear, and they both came with shoulder pad accessories. And last up, the new Blackjacks. Not nude Blackjacks, new, N-E-W. Blackjacks, black trunks, black chaps, black vests, black hats, all of which were non-removable. And Jeff, that rounds out Jack's Bone Crunchers Tag Team Series 1.
So did you let out a fangirl scream when you found the Road Warriors?
No, it was more of like an okay, good, finally.
Okay.
And then just kind of calmly like took them off the peg. I think I grabbed two sets, one to keep on card, one to open, and was just super happy they were finally coming home. I didn't have to. It literally was like 4 days a week at Toys R Us hunting these.
And you did get all four?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't even know that the Legion of Doom are my favorite in this set. It might actually be the Headbangers.
I think the Headbangers are the best.
Yeah. The more I've gone back and looked at these, those Headbangers are so good. Not that we've had a ton of Headbanger figures. Obviously, the new Mattels coming out are going to trump these with best of. You know, if you're doing best of Headbangers, It's going to be those new Mattels.
Yeah.
But man, for a long time, this tag team set has really stood up as a fine example of headbanger figures.
Yeah. Yeah, because I actually had forgotten what they look like. I mean, not the headbangers, just these figures. And it wasn't until I went back and looked at Wrestling Figure Database today, and I was like, wow, those are not bad. I mean,
yes.
I don't know if I was more shocked about how good the headbanger figures were, or if that Jax actually was able to pull that out in 1997.
And actually probably make them a little bit better than they did LOD. I mean, the LOD figures are great. I love the LOD figures in this set. But there's just something about those headbangers, dude. They are so good. Taking nothing away from the Godwins. The new Blackjacks are just kind of...
ho-hum.
Eh, you know, black trunks, black boots. Can't market that, you know?
Yeah, you can. Just ask Bischoff.
I think it would have been cooler if the hats were removable. I think that would have added a little bit.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have removable accessories.
Yeah, I agree. Not so. It didn't have to be the vests removable, but at least the hats. They didn't have that, so in my mind, that's kind of a knock on them a little bit. But they looked good if you were just displaying them. They were fine. But really, I think it's a 1 and 1A here for me, and it's Headbangers at 1, Legion of Doom at 1A. Those Legion of Doom figures are awesome, but those Headbangers are so good.
Well, I forgot to pull eBay prices because we haven't done this in a while. So I'm a little bit behind, but I started kind of going through. So the Godwins on card. Wow, that's actually a really good card that they last sold. Last sold April 6th for $50.
Wow, really?
For $50. The card is actually, I'm not going to say pristine, but that's a good card.
Wow, for almost 30 years old, huh?
All right, Headbangers, last sold February 24th for $45.
Okay. All right, so I'm seeing about a $50 average here.
Yeah.
For carded samples.
All right, Road Warriors. So last sold was April 2nd. The seller wanted $84.90, but he accepted an offer.
Okay.
I will go back a little bit. Another one sold on February 14th. For $65.
Wow, that's crazy. I literally have these hanging up right outside my office here.
Yeah, there you go, dude.
Wow, I would never part with them, but wow, that's crazy that they would, because they a long time ago weren't going for that much. I mean, you could pick up a set of these for like $20, $25 tops. Mm-hmm. So that must have gone up in recent years, dude.
Okay, so for the new Blackjacks, actually, there's one available to buy right now, $69.99.
I ain't getting that.
Yeah. New Blackjacks.
I mean, who knows? Maybe he is. I don't know the market values on these.
Well, they're about $50 so far.
Yeah, that seems to be the average. Yeah.
Okay. Last sold on the new Blackjacks, February 6th for $52.24.
Well, there you go. I mean, outside of the Road Warriors, which is to be expected, Road Warriors figures always go up in value. You're going to pay about $50 for these mint on card.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they display well. I think the packaging is good. The figures are good. The inside cardboard art, it's fine. They really do display well on the wall. And I think for $50, especially for those headbangers, that's not a bad deal.
Well, there you go. $50 for tag team series. Well, it's not a bad tag team series. So,
and it's almost 30 years old, dude. There's not a lot of samples of these out there, I don't think.
All right, Scott, we also haven't done listener segment in a while, so why don't we jump into our first question from the great, the wonderful, the Justin Summers. Let's get into Justin's question.
Hello, Scott and Jeff. This is once again Justin Summers with my monthly question. So you guys already know the question I'm going to ask you, because a week ago from this recording, I told you. And the reason for that is because sometimes, which I've learned in my years of podcasting, is some questions you can't just get asked and have a good answer immediately. Sometimes it's something you need to sit on and think about. Recently, in an interview, Undertaker talked about his Mount Rushmore moments in professional wrestling. I don't know what they were offhand, but the question I asked to you guys is, what are your Mount Rushmore moments of professional wrestling. Now, the way I kind of look at it is Mount Rushmore, for something like this, it isn't like just your favorite. Like, these are the monumental important moments. Luckily, within the world of professional wrestling, there are a lot of those moments, and it all depends on how you look at it. One of my answers, I think, is probably unanimous with a lot of people. It'll be on their Mount Rushmore, and that is the Austin 316 promo, because that was one of the catalysts for the Attitude Era, and one that goes with it, and one that I recently did the math on, and I was actually surprised. The next moment that I'm going to mention happened only 2 weeks after Austin 316, 2 weeks to the day. It was the formation of the NWO. Those two moments alone were driving forces for each company in the Attitude Era. NWO was the big thing in WCW, and obviously Stone Cold Steve Austin was one of the biggest things of the WWF at the time. Another moment that I think was a catalyst of what was to come later, I've had people tell me that they don't think so, but personally I do, and that is Lawler. Jerry the King Lawler slapping Andy Kaufman on The Tonight Show. Even as someone who was born after that point, I still knew about it through various things I would see on the TV. And I think a celebrity being injected into professional wrestling would be the early, very early, I don't even want to say catalyst, but like an early element of WrestleMania. And now we have celebrities willing to become wrestlers, just like Andy Kaufman. And my last one is the night that Mick Foley won the WWF Championship and WCW trying to spoil it. Obviously, we know that that is something that turned the tides in the Monday Night War. A big what if for me is, what if they didn't give out that spoiler and they just concentrated on their product? Would WCW have lasted longer? I don't think they'd be around today, but they helped turn the tide against them. It might have happened over the next couple weeks with Mick Foley being champion, but we'll never know. So those are my Mount Rushmore moments in wrestling history. There are a ton of other ones, so I would love to hear what you guys came up with after thinking about it for a week. Talk to you guys later. Oh, and since it's been a month, I want to publicly thank Scott for wishing me a happy birthday. Notice I didn't say Scott and Jeff, because Jeff didn't. Thank you very much, Scott. You are appreciated in my heart. Later, guys.
Hey, Justin. My bad. I own this one.
You start to sound like R-Truth.
That's where I was going with it.
This one's on me, dog.
This one's on me, man. happy belated birthday.
Oh, no.
Because I know your birthday is literally 4 days before mine, and I lose my mind when it comes to WrestleMania season, and I may have forgotten to wish Justin a happy birthday.
You were in Philly vacation mode, I think.
No, I can't use an excuse. I will take this one. I will own this one. So, Justin, I apologize. But, I mean, Justin's always said that you're his favorite. It's like mom and dad always say, oh, Scott's our favorite. So
you're like, I'm not going to excuse my way out of this one. But
no, I'm not an excuse. But I mean, I might have forgotten, because he's always like, oh, Scott's my favorite. You know, Breaker says the same exact thing, you know. Oh, you and Steve Fontas and Steve Hoker are going to Mania? That's cool. Is Scott going? Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. I know where I stand in this walk of life, you know? So anyways.
It's good you're falling on your sword here, dude. You're doing it very gracefully, I might add.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No, actually, I apologize to Justin. Happy birthday, belated birthday. And yes, he's right. It's been a month, so I do owe you an apology. Hope it was a good one. Scott, well done. Totally forgot. My bad.
That one's on you.
It's actually a really good question by Justin this week too. So,
well, it is. And I will weigh in on what he said about some questions you need time to prepare for. I can vouch for that 100% because about an hour ago, Jeff sprung the draft on me. And I guarantee tonight I'm going to be racking my brain with my picks going, why didn't I take this? Why didn't I take that? And I don't need another Macho Man Slim Jim figure. I really don't.
Well, I only
That's why I didn't take that one.
I only thought of it 30 minutes prior to the show. So I kind of sprung it on myself too, you know?
Yeah. But Justin was very kind and gave us some time to think about this. And what's funny is the list I came up with was immediate.
Oh, really?
And it hasn't changed. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
now there's going to be a lot of repeat from what Justin said. Just disclaimer.
Okay.
Fair warning.
I also have honorable mentions too.
I've got one.
Okay.
Honorable mention. Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you go into yours?
My first one is Vince buys the WWWF from his dad. And we may as well go into it because this literally changed the face of wrestling, and it would not look like today the way we know it had Vince not made that purchase. He literally reshaped what wrestling was into what we know it as today. Without Vince, it would look different than it did in the 80s, but it may not have the look that it has now. He literally changed the game.
Yeah.
Like he made it entirely different, spun it in a whole different direction, and literally turned it on its head and completely changed it. So that to me is a monumental Mount Rushmore moment, is Vince buying the WWF from his dad.
Okay. I actually had down, and this kind of goes back to yours, Vince buying it from his dad and was able to create Hulkamania. Well, Hulkamania was one of the biggest things in the 80s.
That's the next one on my list, dude.
Hulkamania is the first one on my list.
Yeah. Without Hulkamania, whatever Vince did wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
Hulkamania was the catalyst to make all of those changes that Vince made.
If Hulk didn't walk, Warrior didn't run.
Here we go again.
God damn it. That was poetic. That was poetry in motion right there.
Okay.
All right. Let's stop. I'm sorry.
That's the second one on my list, Jeff. And it literally goes hand in hand with Vince buying the WWF. Hulk Hogan winning that title with Vince's brain and his brain creating this thing called Hulkamania. If that doesn't fly, you can say what you will about the first WrestleMania. Yes, a lot hinged on that. But if Hulkamania doesn't fly and make that first WrestleMania the success that it was, I don't know what wrestling would be today.
Yeah.
So much hinged on those two moments, on those two things happening, that they have to be put on Mount Rushmore. And they have to be literally doing the Mega Powers handshake because it was a combined effort. It's almost like the tag team. Vince purchases, Hulkamania is born. Those are two events, but they are so joined at the hip.
I actually had WWE buying WCW on there.
Oh, okay.
And the reason I had that on there was because, yes, Vince, they bought WCW in 2001. So Vince went in and raided the territories back in 84, around 84.
So, that's when it all kind of started.
So 17 years prior, Vince didn't, he bought at Calgary, but he didn't go in and actually purchase territories. He just purchased talent from territories.
He was taking their best talents, right?
He went in and purchased his biggest competition. Think about that. That's like Apple going in and purchasing Samsung.
Yeah.
I mean, that is insane to me.
Samsung would have to be like pennies on the dollar, like WCW was, in order to be able to make that comparison.
But true, but WCW had been around for so long that they went in and purchased their competition.
Yes. And I could see why you would say that that's a big deal, but WCW, from what it was in the day versus what Vince bought,
true,
was two entirely different animals. They had fleeced that place so bad and just run it into the ground that what Vince bought was not even like 1994 WCW.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, but I mean, still, he went in and purchased his competition to where yeah, you had little independent promotions throughout the country, but you didn't have any more competition. Not until TNA started up.
I could see why that would be on your Mount Rushmore.
And it led to a lot. It led to some dream matches. We didn't get everything we wanted out of that invasion.
Well, because we didn't get the roster.
Exactly.
Yeah, the roster didn't come over that we wanted.
Well, the roster started trickling over
the course of several years. Yeah.
But it wasn't like an influx of the roster right away.
Yeah, like Goldberg didn't come in until like 2 years later.
Right.
Sting didn't come in until like the 2010s. You know, so really those names we wanted, we never really got. Luger never came in. You know, we never got those big, big names. Yeah, we got Hogan and Nash and Hall, but they really screwed that up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, we could get into a whole conversation about post WCW purchase, but I could see why that would be on your Mount Rushmore 100%.
All right. What do you have next?
These two things are exactly what Justin had said. So business was kind of in the crapper. It wasn't super great. And then Steve Austin got on the microphone and did Austin 316. And then in the rival promotion, WCW, the NWO was born. And that was lightning in a bottle for both promotions. And without that, again, I don't know where wrestling is today. But those two things, almost like Vince purchasing the WWF from his dad and Hulkamania being born, it's almost like the NWO and Austin 316 have to be connected at the hip as well, because that created lightning in a bottle for both promotions. Both promotions got over again with their audience, and it created the Monday Night Wars. And there are iconic moments in wrestling that have happened. And if you ask me, it is Hulkamania. It is Austin 316. It's the NWO. Those are my Mount Rushmore moments. Vince buying the promotion from his father is definitely up there as well. So those are my four. But I feel like we're starting to get lightning in a bottle again. And there's something going on in wrestling where it seems like it's gaining in popularity again. Like it's starting to get more mainstream. It's starting to get mentioned more. I don't think we've had that boom since 96, 97.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good, but it hasn't been that next level where like everybody's talking about it. I feel wrestling is getting back to that stage. So if I were to answer this question again in 5 or 6 years, one of my Mount Rushmore moments might be The Rock comes back to face Roman. That gets crapped on by the crowd. They insert Cody into that thing and have him beat Roman for the title. But The Rock's presence in wrestling brought it back. If it happens, that'll be on my Mount Rushmore, because it's so rare in wrestling that you catch lightning in a bottle, right? It happened in 1984. It happened in 1986. And I haven't seen it happen since. And if we get that boom again, I'm going to credit The Rock with that.
You forgot 1996, 1997 with NWO and Austin.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
It happened in 84 with Hogan, and it happened in 96 with the NWO and Austin.
Oh, I apologize. You said 86.
Oh, I did? 80s. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I meant 84 and 90s. Sorry, I'm always stuck in the 80s. 84 with Hulkamania, 96 with Austin and the NWO. So I've already got my Mount Rushmore set. I'm going to throw an honorable mention to Vince leaving the WWE and basically Triple H taking over the reins. That, the combination of Triple H taking over and The Rock re-entering and getting that buzz around wrestling again, that may take over Vince buying the WWF from his dad as the fourth spot on Mount Rushmore. But ask me again in 5 years.
Dude, I have that down to my honorable mentions. I have down written.
Oh, Vince leaving.
Vince being ousted, because we need time to tell. Like the great Nelson, the band Nelson sang, only time will tell.
Oh my gosh.
By the way,
leave it to you to shoehorn Nelson into a conversation.
By the way, Dylan from Wrestling Figure Database found a Nelson t-shirt.
Oh my gosh.
And he sent it to me. And I'm like, well, I have to buy that. And he sent me the link to the website. And unfortunately, all they had was small and 2X. And Nelson didn't have any they had normal size people, you know, they didn't have ultra skinny or ultra.
Yes.
Yeah. This wasn't ice hockey from Nintendo. They had the medium sized guy.
That was so funny in ice hockey back in the day, dude. You get three body types, super skinny, average, or hulking fat.
I thought you'd like that.
You're going to look like Earthquake from the classic Superstars line.
But like you, oh my God, or any fat guy from the Superstars line. Any
fat guy, yeah.
Jack's Superstars line.
Gross. They did us wrong, us fat guys.
But Vince being ousted is something that we needed because look at attendance before COVID. Attendance was in the shitter. They were maybe getting 1,000 people at house shows. Monday Night Raws, they were getting 6,000. SmackDown, maybe 3,000.
It's getting better.
After COVID and after what came to light with Vince, it is now astronomically better.
Yes, but it's not there yet.
It's starting to, it's like that mountain climber on Price is Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't want him to go over the cliff, but he is damn near that peak. And okay.
It's getting there, dude, but it doesn't feel like it has that buzz yet. I get what you're saying, and I know where you're going with this, and I'm right there with you. But I just feel like we need a little more time to see, was this that lightning in a bottle moment that we've all been waiting for since Austin and the NWO? Is this it? I hope it is. I want it to be super mega popular again, you know, but I don't know that we're there yet.
But Vince being ousted is what's taking this to the next level. We needed
it's the catalyst for the change. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. What happened when Vince came back last year during WrestleMania Hollywood? Monday Night Raw, the Monday Night Raw that everybody looks forward to at the night after WrestleMania was a complete crap fest.
Yeah, it was a stink bomb. Yeah.
The only good segment was the first segment when Brock came out to help Cody and the end segment when Brock went to beat up Cody. The other 2 hours and 2.5 hours was a complete snooze fest.
Yeah.
And why was that? Because Vince had his hands on it.
Yep.
And then guess what happens? Vince gets ousted for his hush money. And guess what's going on with wrestling right now? They're selling 145,000 people in Philadelphia.
Yes. Like I said, we're getting there.
Yes.
We're getting there. But it doesn't feel like it has that buzz that 96, 97 had or that 1984, 85 had. But dude, honestly, like I said, ask me again in 3 to 5 years, but you're definitely... I know where you're going with this and I agree and I want it to get there. Well,
it's an honorable mention. So it's not there yet. I'm with you. Give me about 5 years, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious of what other people would say, like for their Mount Rushmore moments. I mean, of course you're talking matches like Hogan Andre.
Yeah.
You know, Kenny Omega versus a doll. You know, these are all like landmark matches that have happened in wrestling.
Don't you ever knock that match. That was a fantastic match.
I'm sorry, I pronounced his name wrong. Kenny Olivier.
By the way, I am loving mystery wrestling with Evil Uno.
I don't know what this is.
Remember the clip I sent you where...
Where the dude throws himself through a table? Is that what that's from? Okay, I didn't know. I thought they were commentators.
So it's called mystery wrestling. It's Evil Uno. He does... I guess he puts this on or whatnot. But anyways, I've been catching up on all this stuff, dude. Granted, I haven't bought any DVDs or any on-demand stuff. But every clip I see of it or something on YouTube is fantastic and hilarious. And it's what it's what I need in my life, you know? But going back to the Mount Rushmore, one thing I didn't want to do on my Mount Rushmore is put a match on there.
Yeah, I agree. These have to be like landmark moments, not landmark matches.
So I did have down the Austin promo. And I hate to be so WWE heavy. I really do. But being in America, we're seeing the ebb and flows of what has brought wrestling to the top and what's brought it down to the very bottom rung. Austin promo is one of those that had it at the tip top.
Absolutely. Yep.
You just knew when he cut that promo that things were starting to tick up.
Yes.
And I didn't want to put a match on there, but I did. And the reason I did this is because everybody remembers where they were at when this moment happened.
If you say Strikeforce versus Demolition at WrestleMania 4, I'm going to have you thrown out of here.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to say that match because that is a dark time in my life.
But because I can't make fun of you about anymore.
You got to hush up.
Yep. There's a new torchbearer for that one.
Is it you?
No, because I'd be making fun of you right now.
Who the hell's cried at more WrestleManias? I've only cried at one.
Well, no, that's why I can't make fun of you about it anymore.
By the way, I still like when I went to go open up the Aleister Black figure and you're like, this jerk, he didn't even let me do my opening thing. That's my time. That's my time. My name's Scott Toon and that's my time to shine.
Did you leave that in?
I did.
Nice.
You jerk.
Nice. Yeah, I was like, he'll find this when he gets to editing and it's going to be fantastic.
But I didn't want a match on there, but I did. The match was a snooze fest. But when that final three came down, everybody lost their mind and it became a moment that everybody remembers. It's when you're sitting there and you think back to something that happened in America. Where were you on a 9/11? Where were you when this earthquake hit? You know, whatever it was. But it is Brock versus Taker. And it's and I put that on there and it's not for the match. It's for the moment at the end, because everybody will tell you where they were when that hand hit three and Brock beat Taker.
Yeah.
Hogan and Andre is another one. But to me, that moment where Taker's streak ended at WrestleMania, this streak that everybody thought he would retire with, ended right there. And people will say, hey, where was I?
Got it.
All right. Justin, excellent question this week, man. That was
solid.
Justin, thank you. Oh, by the way, Justin, happy birthday, man. What? It was Justin's birthday, dude. Didn't you know?
Oh, yeah. Way to cover. Well done.
Thanks. Thanks, dude. Shh. Thanks. Anyways. Justin, excellent question. Thanks, man. All right, Scott. Josh Thompson actually sent in some trivia questions.
Okay.
So he said, hey, Jeff and Scott, JT here, back with that bi-weekly submission. So, boys, the crows that used to be on the show stopped by recently. JT, do you know where they were visiting quite often? Anyways.
Yeah, don't come in contact with them.
Wait, where are you living, JT? Why were they stopping by there? Anyways.
Are there massage parlors in your vicinity?
They wanted me to relay this message out to you guys. Quote, well, pricks, you wanted figures of classic guys? You got them. Now get on your knees and kiss Steve's ring, end quote. Anyway, I know the CEO of Ring Skirts is usually the one to give you guys trivia questions, but I'd like to hand out some trivia for you guys to answer this week. I'm giving you two questions, one based on wrestling, one based on wrestling figures. The answers will be in separate email titled Biweekly Submission Trivia Answers. Okay. All right. I like what you did there. You can go look for that now, but do not open it until you have tried to answer the following questions. Question number one, WCW Slamboree pay-per-view used to be billed as Legends Reunion. What was the reason why? Wait, that it was, I remember that it was a Legends Reunion. I remember that.
Yeah, Andre showed up and that was like, oh man, Andre's showing up in WCW. Didn't they do a Hall of Fame or something?
I thought there was a Hall of Fame. There was another big, wasn't Bockwinkel there?
Probably. I just remember Andre because it was just like, and when they did that, I think it was like 93 or 94. No, it would have been 92 or 93 because Andre passed away in 93.
Correct. So it had to have been like 91, 92.
Maybe it was. But yeah, so, I thought they had like a Hall of Fame or it obviously wasn't a WWE Hall of Fame, but I thought they had like some sort of Hall of Fame thing going on.
Yeah. So his question was, what was the reason why? So yeah, I think there was some award or something that was given out to the legends. And I want to say, you were right. I think Bockwinkel was there too. Was JYD, Snuka, were they there?
Oh, you got me, dude.
I had
WCW trivia is definitely not my strong suit.
Breaker would know this one.
Oh, for sure.
Question number two. In 1996, WCW had an 8-man battle royal to determine who would be the number one contender for the WCW Heavyweight Championship. Which members of the battle royal have at least one 6-7-inch figure out there on the market? The eight men in the battle royal are Public Enemy, Rocco Rock and Johnny, Earl Robert, Dick Slater, Scott Norton, Ice Train, and the Barbarian, and DDP.
Who has a 6-inch figure out there?
Yeah.
Out of those guys, Scott Norton has an FTC. DDP obviously has numerous figures.
The Barbarian. Barbarian has...
Jax.
Well, he's also got Chella, but not 6-7-inch. So if I'm reading the question correctly, technically, he says 6 to 7 inch figure out there on the market. The 8 men in the battle royal are public.
Oh, enemy. Available now, I guess, DDP? Because isn't he in the Monday Night Wars line?
It'd have to be DDP.
It has to be DDP. Or, right. I mean, Scott Norton's still available on the FTC site. So I'm going to go Scott Norton, FTC.
Okay. Answers. Question number one. Slamboree was originally called Legends Reunion because many retired wrestlers would attend the pay-per-view and or other events the weekend of the pay-per-view.
Oh, so there was no Hall of Fame or awards or anything. It was just legends showing up.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Question number two. DDP, the Barbarian, and Scott Norton are the only wrestlers in the 8-man battle royal to have at least one 6 to 7 inch action figure out on the market as of the moment of this email.
Oh, yeah. There he goes. Okay. So we got those.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well,
you thought it meant like who can you go buy right now? I think is how you were reading that.
Well, he says at the end, out on the market as of the moment of this email. Well, Barbarian's got the Cella, but he doesn't have a...
No, but has been released as a 6-inch figure.
Okay.
And Barbarian had a Classic Superstars, which is what I said.
Okay, so I misread that. I thought he was asking as of this moment. Like, I could go to Mattel Creations or something on the web.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I see. Okay, so yeah, we got that one right.
Yep, nailed it. All right. So 1 out of 2 is not bad.
All right, at least we got the wrestling figure one right.
Yeah, right.
If we'd have gotten that wrong, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, I'd run for the hills. I'd be so embarrassed.
And Scott, that rounds out the show. We want everybody to check out WrestlingToyTracker.com. Over there, they have the carded and loose prices of LJN's, Galoob's, Hasbro's, Just Toys, Bendham's, and Defining Moments. You can find all those prices out at WrestlingToyTracker.com. All right, let's head into the podcasted buddies. We got the Rumble Wheel with Breaker and the Maximum Sweat Man himself, Daniel Cross. Do you think Daniel Cross gets so angry when I talk? Because he doesn't like me that much. So he gets his little sweat bottle. Do you think he puts it on the back of his neck like he had to do with Maximum Sweat Figures?
He gets quite cross and then drips a little sweat.
He's got a little bottle and he just puts it on the back of his neck and he protrudes sweat.
He gets so angry, he gets hot and he uses that little bottle to cool himself off on his forehead. He gets quite cross. Daniel Cross does.
Daniel Cross. Don't you cross me. All right. Anyways.
Right. There you go. That's his closing line to all of his promos.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you cross the cross. All right. Go. TB Toycast, we talked about Batman Happy Meal toys this past week. It was the ones with, oh God, it was like, they were in like cars. It was like,
the animated series, right?
It wasn't the
Batman
animated
series. The animated series. Oh, really?
No, it was based off of the second movie with Penguin.
Oh, okay.
And Catwoman. I thought we had these because didn't we go to...
Oh, I definitely have them. They're in the garage, dude. I had all the Batman Happy Meals. I had those cups. I had the glasses that they did, the fancy glasses. I actually got the display for the animated series too.
Oh, you did get that?
I have the display that was in McDonald's. Yes. And it has the cars all attached to it too.
Do you still have it?
Oh yeah. It's in the garage.
Nice, dude.
Yep. It's all intact too.
Well, we talked about that. We also talked about the Jenna Jameson doll that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s.
I've got that too. Got the cheerleader one.
Which, because they came out with different ones, right?
Yeah, they put them in different outfits and stuff. I think it was Vivid that released those.
Okay, and was she the only one?
No, they did a whole bunch of different porn stars.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. And they do re-releases to where they'd have like repaints and different outfits. And yeah, I think the Jenna we got as a cheerleader never opened it. So I don't know like all the body parts and everything because those are supposed to be like accurate. Never opened it, so I can't vouch for that. But yeah, there were a whole line of those that came out.
You need to get that signed by her.
I mean, if it was a reasonable cost for her autograph, yeah, I would.
So who else did they come out with? Did they come out with Asia Carrera?
You know what, dude? I don't remember.
Did they come out with Peter North?
They didn't. I don't remember any dudes.
Did they come out with Chasey Lane?
Keep going, dude. Keep naming off names from 90s porn.
Oh man. Who was the one that died in the car accident in 95?
I don't know. I think her name was Anna Mall. It wasn't Brittany O'Connell.
It was, I want to say her name was Anna L or something like that. Anna L.
I thought it was Anna Mall.
Oh,
like animal.
Oh, I thought it was Anna L. Or
well, it wasn't Brittany O'Connell, and it wasn't Jenna Fine or April Hunter. She '90s.
I thought she was a wrestler that did.
She was, but I think also, I don't know.
All right,
I don't know. You know better than I do, apparently. Even though I know a little bit.
Anyways, that was on the TV. Watch all the dudes just download TV Toy. We want to listen to this now.
There's no way you can finish to that. Hold my beer.
Also, listen to the PPW podcast. They are going to have a new show out. I'm not sure exactly what it is just yet as of this recording, but please go back and listen to the couple weeks ago after WrestleMania. Steve had myself on when I had the raspy voice. Sounded like I had partied in Philadelphia, when in reality, I just got sick.
Yeah, you just got sick.
Breaker was on there. The CEO of Ring Skirts was on there. They told some hilarious stories about Ring Skirts yelling at Bill Alfonso at the WrestleCon hotel. That was hella funny.
That's great.
Just so many stories just flowing through. So anyways, go check that out on the Positively Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, check out the Stolen Gimmicks podcast. I didn't do well on my Dynasty picks. They're doing a pick'em league type thing. And,
oh, they did one for AEW show?
And I didn't do well.
It happens.
Yeah, it does. So, but it's a lot of fun, and so is their show. So check out the Stolen Gimmicks with Jordan Cassatt. Also, check out In the Marbles pod. I did okay. I'm moving up, Scott. I'm in 22nd now. I am now 8 above last.
Good. Look at you moving on up, dude. I'm telling you, change your team name to the Jeffersons.
Well, you don't really have team names. They just have your name and your points. So anyway.
So change your name from Jeff to Jefferson.
That's brilliant, actually. I actually love that.
The Jefferson. Just the one. Singular.
Yeah. And it's going to be spelled J-E-F-E-R-S.
One F, yes.
Yeah, one F. Also, check out the Legendary Wrestling Figures with Brian. He had Rucker on this past week. Dude, that was a lot of fun. By the way, we need Rucker on this show. We're going to have him sit in. Speaking of people sitting in a couple of weeks, we're going to be having the guest. Our guest will be the Chick Foley show. We'll have Seth, Sheena, and Marco on.
Awesome.
We're going to be doing a typical Fully Posable style show, but it's going to be a lot of fun with them. Just kind of going.
Can't wait.
Also, Work the Arm podcast with Jeff and Jamie. They go over old WCW. It's hilarious. Pod Subject to Change with Nick Dunham and his two kids discussing wrestling from all eras. Also, the great, the wonderful, the trivia man himself, Trivia with Buds. Check out his show, Trivia with Buds, on all podcasts.
Love you, Ryan.
I mentioned the Chick-fil-A show. RJ with Ringside Rant. EJ, speaking of Boot to the Face, EJ and Rucker are doing Boot to the Face. Fun show over there as well. Pulling Up a Chair with Tim and the Fig Life, and Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. Scott, roll call.
Yep, going to throw it out to Jason Wolf. Not really taking commissions right now, but he's still got that chop shop going. Follow his social medias, The Art of Jason Wolf. That's W-U-L-F. And of course, Jeff, going to throw it over to Steve Hoker. Go to TeePublic. Look up store name Starman NJ. That is Steve's store. All proceeds go to a different charity every month because Steve's a hell of a guy and he's always giving back. I can vouch for this. He's amazing. Starman NJ on TeePublic. And Jeff, that rounds out roll call.
By the way, everybody's still laughing that you think the cheesesteak shop is better than any Philly cheesesteak you had in Philadelphia.
I'm just going off of what I had.
All right. Even over O'Brothers. O'Brothers was the best one, dude.
I agree. So out of all the cheesesteaks I've had that are like legit, like Cheesesteak Shop is one, O'Brother is number two. I didn't have 10 of them like Adam did, which he ranked on Drunk Wrestling History, by the way.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, so we did, I think that's the show dropping this past Friday, is the recap of WrestleMania. It's basically like rehashing all of our WrestleMania stories. Kind of like what you did with the guys at the PPW. We kind of did the same thing, and Adam does rank his top 10 cheesesteaks.
Okay, did he say any of them were better than the Cheesesteak Shop?
Pretty much. Well, to be fair, Cheesesteak Shop wasn't in the mix.
Okay.
If he had had 11, I'm wondering where they would have ranked.
Okay. By the way, Eric mentioned that he wants to take you to a Hoagie Cheesesteak Shop out here. He says, something tells me that he thinks that you would like that this one over the cheesesteak shop.
Oh, I always want to find one that's better. Like, okay. That's why I went to Philly, because the only cheesesteaks I've really had that I thought were legit was Cheesesteak Shop. And I was like, I've got to find better in Philly. I didn't. And again, it's all taste. It's very subjective, but
yeah,
I didn't find one that was better. So yes, if he can take me to one here, I would love to find it, because I don't know the next time I'm being in Philly to eat cheesesteaks again.
Well, I don't even know when the next time you're going to be in Alameda, but hopefully it's before you go back to Philly.
Yeah. But yeah, I got to get over there to definitely try another cheesesteak.
Yeah. He says he wants to take you to it. So, cause perfect. I was telling him, cause we were all laughing that you think the cheesesteak shop is like the best one. We were just hella laughing. It's and you're right. One, it's subjective, but anyways, he wants to take you there.
I can't wait.
Scott, for episode 431, anything else?
Stay safe, stay healthy. Fig Life since 2016, and happy toy hunting.
I want to thank everyone for listening to episode 431. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Fully Posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Toon Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.